My text this morning is, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. One of you shall betray me. All of you shall be offended because of me. And one of you shall betray me. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he spoke to his disciples. And as I first thought of this text, the thought came to me that when we say all of us, we're all very comfortable, because that's not very specific. I tell people every once in a while that as a preacher, and especially as a pastor, that I usually preach in generalities, because you have such a wide area to cover. And when you talk about lost people, and you're just talking about lost people in general, that's not very specific. But if I were to single one of you out this morning, it could be very uncomfortable. At the end of this service this morning, I'm going to ask all of you to do something. And I'm going to ask one of you to do something that the rest are not going to do. I had thought all week about that, because the Lord gave me the text early in the week, and I've read and I've studied on it. But that thought came to my mind, is let them all feel comfortable, but let them think through the whole service, I may be the one that he calls on. And as I begin to think about it, I thought, now who will that be? You know, I mean, Lord, and I thought on most of every one of you. And I finally said, okay, Lord, I'll wait till Sunday morning and you let me know. And I know, but you don't. All of you, I'm going to ask you to do something. And one of you, I'm going to ask to do something differently. But you all are going to know whether you do what I ask everyone else to do. And all of you are going to know what this one person is going to do. Jesus, when he had gathered with his disciples and had instituted, well, prior to his institution of the Lord's Supper, he had actually gathered with them to observe the Passover. And he said unto them, as they were gathered there, one of you are going to betray me. One of you, one of this group of 12 right here, one of you who've been with me for the past 3+ years, who have enjoyed the privilege of being counted as a part of this group, one who has been able to perform miracles, one who has been able to go out here and to tell others about me, one of you in this very close-knit group who have heard the great preacher John preach, who had the ordinance of baptism administered unto you, who followed me and listened to me as I taught and as I healed, one of you is going to betray me. There was not a single one of those 12 men who knew accepting the one who was going to do it. Now, I suspect that if we had been in that group, I'll back up. Let me not say we. I suspect if I had been in that group, one of my first thoughts would have been, I wonder which one it is. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Am I the one? How many of you here this morning, as soon as I said, I'm going to have one of you do something, thought, it may be me? Nobody? Now that surprises me. I thought surely somebody would have thought it may have been me. Well, I pumped you long enough. I'm not going to ask you any longer to put your hand up if you thought that. So I guess nobody thought that. That catches me off guard a little bit. Now, Lily, you put yours up long after that I'd asked, so you're not much ahead of them. Thank you for putting your hand up anyway. You were brave. No one wanted to put their hand up. The Bible says that each of them began to say, Lord, am I the one? Let me tell you something this morning that every one of us need to understand. There are none of us who are exempt from falling. There are none of us who are exempt from being overtaken in a fault. There are none of us, as much as we might think that we would not be offended for the cause of Christ, who may not be offended. We would like to think, I'm sure that most of us anyway would, to think that we're stronger than that and that we would do a better job than that and that there isn't anything that would offend us for the cause of Christ. But let me tell you something. It doesn't take much to offend people today. I've never seen a time when supposedly Christians have to be handled so delicately. Everybody's wearing their feelings out here just to be hurt, offended, upset, peeved, unhappy. Things don't go my way, well then I just won't go. And you don't have to. That's one thing. Even the Lord himself doesn't make you do anything. Sometimes people get the idea that God's going to make them do things. He doesn't. He allows us the great privilege of being one of his children and then allows us the privilege of serving him. But we don't have to serve him. Sometimes, Paul wrote in one place and he said, brethren, he said, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, Paul recognized that people were subject to failure and that they had faults about them. He said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now, he said, you who are spiritual, you who are strong, you need to help those people. And one of the reasons that I'm convinced that we need to help them is that we never know when we may be going to be the one that needs the help. We may be the one who's overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Lord, am I the one that's going to betray you? I must be honest, and I ask the Lord from time to time to just let me finish my journey and be a good child of yours. And don't let me get to that point to where that I'm doing more harm then I can do good in your cause. I don't know that will happen, but I pray for that. we do not know, people, what we're going to do tomorrow or even what we're going to do today, because not one of you yet knows what you're going to be asked to do at the end of this service. All of you and one of you. Lord, am I the one that's going to betray you? They were sorrowful. They truly, you know, it was upsetting to them to hear that one of their number was going to be the one who was going to betray the Lord. Now, you all are sitting here and you know who it was. How many of you here this morning know who I'm going to call on at the end of this service? Not one single one of you. God didn't reveal it to a single one of you, did he? No. Some of you are probably sitting there saying, is it I? Am I the one? You better be. Because one of you is going to be the one. But all of you are going to be asked to do something. Am I the one? On another occasion, you remember that one of the disciples wrote and said that one leaned over and said, ask the Lord which one is going to be. Ask him who it is that's going to betray him. We want to know. Now listen, and the Bible says, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. Do you know what? The 11 disciples still did not know that it was Judas. When Jesus told him to take and to go and to do what he had to do, the other disciples interpreted that to mean that he was sending Judas out to take care of the monetary obligations that they had incurred as a result of coming to this man's house to observe the Passover feast. And they thought Jesus was saying, Judas, you go and take care of the bill. Now that's putting it in our terms today. Judas was the treasurer. Judas is the one who handled the money. In that capacity, there's no doubt in my mind that he had gained the confidence and the faith of the other 11 members of that group to entrust him with handling the money. And he was stealing from it all the time. And that's recorded in the word of the Lord. But the other disciples didn't know that. And when Jesus even said, one that dippeth his hand with me in the dish is the one that's going to do it, they still did not understand it. Folks, don't ever kid yourself. We don't understand all the workings of the Lord. I never cease to be amazed at how he works. And I never cease to get to the point where I say, Lord, you just don't do things the way that I think, do you? And he doesn't. And I'm thankful he doesn't. One of you is going to betray me. All of you, he writes a little later, are going to be offended because of me. Now, you know what I find most of the time that people get offended about is not the cause of the Lord. Now, I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the world that's lost. They really don't get offended. They don't care. Oh, they get offended once in a while about some things, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who, quote, are supposedly serving the Lord, who are glory, glory, hallelujah in the Lord, and the first little thing comes along, they get upset, they get offended, their feelings are hurt, everything under the sun. It's no wonder then that Paul had to write and say, you know, I've not fed you with meat because you're not able to stand it. I'm still having to give you milk because spiritually they weren't strong enough to take it. And I find many times that's a problem with our people today. They're not as spiritual as they'd like for people to think they are. All of you are going to be offended because of me this night. I'm not going to be out here next week sometime. It's going to be tonight. And I'm sure that the disciples must have looked at each other in bewilderment and thought, why in the world is he saying something like that? We've given up our livelihoods. We've left our families. We've left our homes. We've followed him for 3.5 years, and we've come here. We've understood what it is that he has to say, and we've committed unto him. We've given our lives to this point in time. And now then he's saying we're all going to be offended because of him. See, most people get offended not because of the Lord, but because of their own personal things. Well, there was one of the disciples, and I'm watching the clock closer this morning because I've got to finish here to get to the end of my service. Oh, my Lord. I don't get to enjoy something this often, very often. I'm probably the only one right now that's enjoying it. But there was one of them who there said, I'm going to tell you something, Lord. Do you ever think you could tell the Lord something? Yeah, there have been a lot of times I thought probably I knew more than he did. One of the boys said, I'm going to tell you something. The rest of these guys may be offended. Everybody else is here going to be offended, but I guarantee you I'm not going to be offended. No. Let me tell you something this morning. Excepting for the grace of God, there is not a single one of us here this morning who knows what we will do in the next 30 seconds, let alone in the rest of our lives. Oh, we sometimes get to feeling pretty proud. We get to feeling pretty cocky about ourselves. We get to thinking we're doing a pretty good job. All the rest of them may not be, but I am. The rest of them may be offended, but I'm not. Lord, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to just give my life for you. I'm willing to fight to the death for you. You remember when Naaman, get his name. Old Naaman had been told what to do to be covered of his leprosy. He's supposed to go down the river and dip 7 times. That's all he had to do, is go down to the river and dip 7 times in the river. And the old prophet said, you'll be cleansed. You'll be whole again. And when he heard that, he went into a fit in rage. Pitched a fit and stomped off and said, you know what? There are a lot of rivers better than that river is, and I'm not going down there. No siree. I know a better way. And one of his servants come up to him, fear and trembling, and said, you know what? If he had bid you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? If he told you to do something very complicated, wouldn't you have done it? Why, sure. You know, we all want to do the big things. If God can't trust us with the little things, and if we can't take care of the little things, what in the world makes us think he's going to give us the big things to do? He's not. You know, if we can't take care of the little things, he sure isn't going to give us the big things to do. You know, Naaman, he finally had to come to his senses and went down there and dipped 7 times. I believe every time, up to the 6th time, when he came out, I think he looked to check to see if he still had leprosy. And if he had been cured, Elaine, any quicker, he had to stop right then. But he wasn't. He had to go down seven times. When he came up the seventh time, he was whole. We're always trying to short it. We're always trying to cut the Lord out. Lord, I'm ready to die for you. And, you know, he did demonstrate that. Peter said, now, the rest of them may be offended, but not me. I know what I'm going to do. And when the Lord, when Judas came here with the crowd, the mob, to take the Lord, oh, Peter whipped out the sword. He was ready to die right then. He was ready to fight to the death. The Lord said, don't need that. Don't need that. I can take care of things. God gives us some things to do that he expects us to do. It'll be the little things. And if we will just ask him to give us the help we need, he'll help us to do it. There are too many times that we're looking for somebody else to do what God is asking us to do. God still speaks to our hearts. I know that. I don't believe that. I know that. I know that from experience. It's the little things. It's the still small voice that will speak to your heart and give you direction if you will listen to him. Don't fail him. Don't deny him. Don't be the one that's going to betray him. I tell people every once in a while, we always hear about Judas selling out for 30 pieces of silver. And I always say he could have got a lot more. He sold out too cheap. They would have given him a lot more than that. Man, they had money like you can't believe to have paid him. And he sold out too cheap. But we sell out a lot cheaper than he did. Every day. Every day. We fail him over little things. Little things. That's my message. We're going to need, boy, I'm going to get two of them up the hook right away. We're going to need an invitation song. So Karen, if you and Tracy will come. But before we sing the invitation song, I'm going to ask Joyce, if you'll come up here. You're the one. You're the one. And you brought it on yourself this morning. It wasn't me. I waited and you gave it away a while ago in your little presentation. Now I'm not going to tell you what it was. She's the only one I called up here. What did you think when I called your name? Is that what you thought? Am I the one that he's going to call?
No. I'm thinking that I'm the one that I will take God's hand. I will follow him.
Good. Okay. Now that even fits in more. Now, I wasn't going to bring anybody up here and embarrass you. The Lord has already given me that assurance. This is not going to be somebody that I'm going to embarrass. And truthfully, I did not know until she was talking earlier. And she said, here's what she said. There's a lady back there who had been here several times, and she had never even gotten acquainted with her because she sat back there and Joyce sits up here. Now, the rest of you this morning, all of you, please stand. I'm going to ask all of you to come around and to shake hands with Joyce. That's all you have to do, just shake hands with everybody here. See, that wasn't so complicated after all, was it?
No.
But I thought many times myself through the week, if I were to hear that text, I would be sitting there thinking all the time, if it's going to be me, what is it that he's going to have me do? I'd have been worried about it. I hope that none of you were worried about it, that if you were the one, and that you could all feel like I'm one of all. Every one of you are invited to come around and shake hands with her. There may be somebody else here that she has not met, or maybe that you have not met her.
I see.
Maybe there are
already.
Other people that you have not met. If there are, please make an effort to shake hands with them this morning. We used to shake hands at the close of every service we had. And it just kind of got to where it was a choo-choo train, you know, just come by here and shake hands with the preacher and get right on out the door. Well, this morning we'll reinstate it again. You just come around and shake hands. And boy, whenever you get through here, well, just head out the door if you want. But shake hands with everybody and one another, and maybe not everybody. You won't be able to get everyone maybe. But that's going to be the conclusion of our service. If you don't remember another thing this morning, just remember this. All of you shall be offended because of me, and one of you shall betray me. That's my message today.